One of the reasons that we were so blessed through this past week is because Brother Sellers was really simply the messenger. And everyone who sang were messengers, but it was God's Word that really lifted us up. So I want to say how grateful I am to all those who participated by sharing your talents and singing, setting us and being ready for the Word that we received. And we just want to give praise to the Lord this morning for those blessings. My message this morning is the gift of endurance. And we talked about through the revival, we talked about hope and faith and prayer and a lot of those things. And as I was praying this week, I felt like one of the things that we are as Christians are to endure. That's something that we as Christians don't always consider as we go. It's not how high I get during those times. It's not how low I get at other times. It's not how close to the Lord I walk at times and how far away from Him I walk at other times. But it's the simple fact that I endure walking forward seeking the Lord. Because there are going to be days when you just don't feel like going forward with the Lord. And those are the times where we have to endure. Those are the times where we as Christian people, we must call upon Jesus Christ to strengthen us and then walk forward no matter how we feel on the inside. We have in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, a call for a young minister, Timothy, from his mentor Paul to endure. And we want to read this. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1, and we're going to read all the way through 13. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Our God is faithful." So this morning, we see that Paul is encouraging Timothy to endure as a strong servant, as a Christian, as a young pastor. He's trying to say to him that you're going to have some things that you must endure. They're not going to be fun things. They're not going to be easy things. They're going to be things that come along in your life. They're going to be hard for you to handle. But these are the times where you must endure. This is a very important word. As we look here in this first Paul and these illustrations that he gives to Timothy, the first thing we should consider is the source from which Timothy is getting this instruction. And I ask you this morning, do you think Paul is a worthy person to be giving Timothy the instruction to endure hardship. I mean, when you look at Paul's life, the missionary journeys that he had, you see all the things that he endured in life, all the things that he endured in ministry, you begin to understand this man, of all people, understands endurance in Christ. He gave up this career in the Sanhedrin that he was well on the way to being high up in. He gave up a part of his, a lot of people think his eyesight, because he was, the light came and struck him down on the road to Damascus. And then, you know, a lot of people think his eyesight, we don't know that, but he would ride in big scrip and so on and so forth, right? But he was also beaten. He was hated. He was abandoned. He was imprisoned. He was shipwrecked. He was snake bitten. He was hated. He was lied about. He was followed around by all of the Judaizers. He was told that he didn't know what he was talking about. So he endured all of these things that Christians have endured down through the ages. So we can see that the source of the person that's telling Timothy and giving these instructions is a person of experience. This is not a person who just learned these things, but he's experienced the very things that he is encouraging Timothy to be brave in. I can tell you that whenever there's a person who has walked through the fire, and they begin to tell you the way that you can make it through the fire, you probably ought to begin to listen to them, because they have some experiential learning that you can't get from books, that you can't get from anywhere else other than being coupled with the Lord Jesus Christ as you walk through the fire. We understand that as Paul was talking about these things, that he gave some powerful illustrations about the endurance. And that's what we see beginning in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. You are chosen to be a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you begin to look at this illustration, you understand that being a soldier is not a place where it is easy. The comfort is not the first thought of those who are over you. Your comfort is not what they worry about. The mission is the most important thing. And they will put you in hardship. From the moment you sign the line in this country and you join, you are placed in hardship in order that you be ready for the opportunities that come for you to then do the things that soldiers do and do it well. Because if you're not prepared, if you're not ready to endure the hardships of being a soldier for Christ, when the enemy comes, you're going to faint before the enemy. And we do not want to faint before our enemy, the adversary, the devil. And he's going to come against us. We are in a spiritual battle. And often the endurance that we have comes from the training that we go through before. And that's what he's saying. Study to show yourself approved of God in another place. Timothy, be trained. These things are coming. These hardships are coming. You're going to sleep in the dirt. You're going to live in the foxhole. You're going to eat the terrible meals. You're going to go without sleep. You're going to do all these things that soldiers do. But when the war comes, when the spiritual battle comes, you're ready. And you're ready for a reason. The second illustration that he gives is that of an athlete in verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. We've just been able to see much of what's going on at the Olympics. And I didn't get to watch that much of it, and most of it was just things that I didn't care about anyway. But occasionally, you see those that overcome things. And it's just a good story. And that person has trained. And when you see them on that gold medal stand, what you don't see is all the pain, all the preparation, and all of those perfecting of their movements, and all of the things, and all of the time that they've put into that, and this is the end thereof. And a lot of people want to skip all this over here, and they just want to be up on the medal stand. But I'll tell you, that's never going to happen. And if you ever want to be a person who endures for Christ, you're going to have to put some effort in over here so that when these times in your life come, you can endure, so that when you get over here in eternity, you can be on the medal stand and the Lord Jesus Christ can say to you, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And that's what we get as the prize. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. And these athletes, these Olympians that Paul was a part of, he used these illustrations in a lot of areas. So we're saying that you have to prepare as hard as these athletes prepare. A lot of folks give up their whole lives to pursue whatever it is that they want. They're runners. They just put all things aside. Whatever it is, they go for that. The last thing that he says in verse 6, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. And I like this one best, for me personally. If you're a farmer, it's not an easy life. I've known several who farmed for a living. It was hard. Their lives were hard. They were out in the heat. They were out in, and they fought against bugs. They fought against drought. They fought against, and everything depended upon that crop. Their livelihood depended upon that crop. And they must endure all of these things to see how this crop was going to bear fruit. And when that fruit was born, they themselves had to be partakers of that first. And I say to you today, if you're ever going to be an enduring person for the Lord Jesus Christ, you must first intake those fruit of the Spirit. You must eat those things that you produce through Jesus Christ in your spirit so that you then can bless other people. Do you understand that when I am a farmer, I'm not going to be on a medal stand and the world come and say, "A gold medal." They're not going to put me, they're not going to take me to the presidential office and give me a medal of honor. As a farmer, you're not going to get that. But let me tell you what the reward is that you're going to get when you endure in the husbandry of farming, producing food you're going to eat. And that's the greatest thing that we receive from our Savior, Jesus Christ. When I endure for Christ, I receive the promise of eternal life, of the abundant life, of all the things that Jesus has promised me. What a blessing that is. But you know what other blessing it is? Other people eat as well. The things that are produced by the work that I give feed other people. And I'm going to tell you, there's no greater blessing than for a person whom you have witnessed to. And you say, the Lord Jesus Christ loves you greater than the sin that you've been in. Just like the Egyptians who were in bondage, He can bring you out of bondage. Nothing's too wrong, nothing's too bad that the Lord can't save you. And when that person accepts the Lord Jesus Christ, you have borne fruit that you first have eaten of, and it is a blessing for all involved. That's what Paul is talking about in these illustrations. Verse 7 through 10, he says, "Consider what I say, that the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David, raised from the dead according to my gospel." Wait a minute. Is it his gospel? You know why it's called his gospel? Because he ate of it first. He took it in first. It's his. My faith is my faith. It can't be my parents' faith. It can't be the pastor's faith. It can't be my husband or my wife's. It has to be my faith, my relationship, according to my good news. wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. Look, for me doing good, I've suffered. Like someone who's doing evil, I suffered. Even under bonds. But the Word of God is not bound. What was Paul doing when he was arrested in Rome, shackled to a soldier? What was he doing? Spreading the Word of God. The Word of God was not bound. Many of those soldiers were getting saved. Many of the people around him in Rome were getting saved. Because he was bound. He was under arrest. But the Word of God was not under arrest. And he's saying, endure. Because even though I be bound, even though you be bound, the Word of God is not. It's going to go forth. And it's going to have reward. It won't come back void. We understand that Paul here is giving Timothy the truth of the Word of God. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Why do I do the things I do? Why do I endure all of these terrible things? Christian after Christian after Christian have asked themselves this question. Why do I endure the hardships of being a Christian? It's because there's someone out there whom God has for you to be the messenger to, the elect of God, whom He calls, and without you, they may not hear the word for the elect's sake. Praise God, it might be my children. It might be my grandchildren. It might be your children. It might be whoever it is. I do what I do. Every now and then, I think I'd be better off if I didn't do what I got to do. Now, I know that sounds terrible for a pastor to say. But when it comes down to the time where you have to make a decision based upon feeling, if you make it in emotion, you're making the wrong decision. It's got to be based upon the enduring truth of the Word of God. And that's what Paul is saying right here. It is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Folks, that would be a tragedy. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Endurance started with Christ. It started with the Father and then went through the Son and down to you, down to Paul, then to Timothy, then to you, and to all men who will continue the Word of God until the Lord comes back. I want you to do something with me today. I want you to turn to Psalm 136. If everybody would, everybody who has a Bible, turn to 136. And this is something we don't do regularly, but I'm going to ask you to participate with me in something this morning to give God some glory for the enduring Word, for the enduring mercy that He gives. I'm going to read the first part of the verses that I have marked in my Bible. And I want you to read the second part of that. Because you don't even have to read it. You're going to memorize it after a couple. You're going to say or read, "For His mercy endureth forever." Okay, everybody ready? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Oh, give thanks unto God of gods. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, to Him who alone doeth great wonders, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, to Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, and brought out Israel from among them, to Him which smote great kings, who remembered us in our low estate, and hath redeemed us from our enemies, who giveth food to all flesh. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven. His mercy endures. Everything that you endure starts with His endurance. Paul set forth for Timothy the very first thing in the very first verse of why he could endure, why Timothy could endure, why you can all endure, and why everybody past us will be able to endure. And it's this: be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. If you're in Him, you have strength. If you're in Him, you have salvation. If you're in Him, you have endurance. If you're in Him, whenever you're cast down, He picks you up. That's why you have endurance. The psalmist said it. Jesus proved it on the cross. And Paul wrote it in Hebrews chapter 12. Turn over there. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says this: looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him did what? Endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If Jesus Christ endured in mercy so that you could be saved by His death, burial, and resurrection, then it's through Him that we endure when the hardships of life come. And that's what Paul is saying. I don't know what all your stresses are, but I'll ask you today. We often ask these questions: why does God leave me in this financial stress? Why does God leave me in these relationship stresses? Why does God leave me in this hospital, in this diseased manner? Why does God leave me in these things? Why is God allowing me to suffer? If you get right back to it, it's because the servant is not better than the master. And there is a fellowship in suffering with Jesus Christ. You build a closer relationship with Jesus through your suffering. And when you endure as He endured, you have a closer walk with Thee. Isn't that what we sing? Closer walk with Thee. How are you going to get there if all you've ever done is skim across the top and never had any problems? You begin to understand how important it is. Endure as a good soldier. Endure as a good athlete. Endure as the farmer. And this endurance will be for your perfecting, according to James 2, 1 through 5. And remember this: your suffering will not be forever. There is an end to your suffering. You say, well, as long as I'm on this earth, I don't see any way out. I'm never going to get rid of whatever this disease I have. Yeah, you are. You may not do it in this earth, but in Jesus Christ, you're going to be through with that one of these days. And that's the promise that He is giving us when we endure to the end. Endurance. Endure until the end. When life seems as though we will be overcome by how we feel. When we feel like, I just can't go on. I'm just not going to be able to make it. How do we endure? Some may say, I have faith, but just how do I keep on going? See, faith will sometimes, if we don't have endurance with that, and what we're talking about here is perseverance, okay? James says, faith without works is dead. Sometimes my faith might faint, and I have to do what? I have to make a decision to keep on keeping on so that when I come out the other side, I know that my faith is true. and the grace of God is real. And that endurance says to me that I must rely simply on Christ. Yeah, that's faith. Faith with endurance. Look over at 2 Chronicles. You think this hadn't been true for all of history. Here we are all the way back. King Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20 and chapter 12 says this, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? They're about to be attacked, Israel. He's crying out. He says, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. You ever felt that way? I have no might against whatever it is that I'm up against. I don't know how I'm going to make it. And here is the same problem from the king of Israel. And he's saying, we have no might against this company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, Lord. I don't know what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. You ever been lost in the woods? Anybody ever been lost in the woods? Not a good feeling, is it? Scares you. One time when I was a little kid, we got off down in the woods. And you couldn't really get lost where our farm was, but I didn't know that. Right? We get in the woods, it's like, dang, which way's out of here? Well, I end up over on the little farm to market. I'm laying on the little dirt road over there through the woods. And then I knew where I was. I didn't go back through the woods to the house. I walked the long way around because that's the way I knew. I'm going to tell you something, guys. When you know Jesus, He might have you walk the long way around rather than lead you back through the fire, because that's when you know He's in control. That's when He's leading you. He's guiding you. Yeah, it's a long way back when you get off track. But when you're walking with Jesus, I also knew the whole time, I know this is going where I want to be. And that's the way it is with Jesus. When I'm with Him, I know I'm going where I need to be. I don't know always the way and how and all that. Kind of like when Jesus told the disciples, y'all get in the boat and go to the other side. And they said, okay, we'll meet you over there. But what Christ didn't tell them was, in the middle of that, there's going to be this big storm come, and you're going to think you're going to die. And they're rowing and they're crying out, and here comes Jesus walking along on the water. And then what does Peter do? Lord, let me come out there and be with you. And what did he do? Took his eyes off the Lord. He began to sink. See, if you don't know, the only reason you're going to make it is Jesus is leading you. No other reason. You don't know the way. You can't be the strength. You can't do anything except follow Jesus. Our desire to please the Lord is foremost in our mind, our heart, and our soul. That, my friends, this is how we love Him, with heart, mind, and soul. That's how we're to love Him. If that's the case, then we cannot quit. His mercy endures forever for us. Hebrews chapter 10. A couple of verses, we'll be finished. Hebrews chapter 10, 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Are you confident in the Lord this morning? How confident are you going to be when the diagnosis comes down and it's terrible? How confident are you going to be when you get the phone call that says your loved one is not going to make it home tonight? This is the Nacogdoches County Sheriff or whatever. How confident are you going to be in the Lord in that time? How comfortable are you going to be when your children are laying sick and you don't know whether they're going to make it or not? How confident are you going to be in the Lord? That's what He said. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Just because it wasn't for me I just thought, when I become a Christian, I'm going to have no trouble at all. And just because that's not the life you're living, don't cast off your confidence, because in the end, you're going to receive all those promises that God has given you all through the Scripture. That's what he's saying here. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, you know what draw back is? Not endure. You draw back. My soul shall have no pleasure in him. One of my biggest heartbreaks from being at this church for 60 years is to know how many people have come to this church, walked this aisle, expressed faith in Jesus Christ, and drew back, and you never see them again. You don't know where they are. They're not serving the Lord. And it's a heartbreak. Because the promise that they have foregone is still there. It's still there. It's waiting for them. And yet they don't seem to want to endure. One last verse. Look at Luke 9:62. Talking about that drawback. Talking about loving that farmer illustration. Luke chapter 9 and verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, that's kind of harsh sounding, isn't it? You get your horse out, you hook the plow up, you get behind it, and you're fixing to start working, growing, providing for you, providing for your family. And you make it a little while, and you're like, man, I remember back at the house, there was the air conditioner, homemade pie, all the goodness. I think I'm just going to forego this, and I'm going to go ahead and let loose of the plow handles and go on for the easy life. And this comes right after all these folks. You can go back and read it. Jesus, follow me. Well, let me check out this stuff that's important to me. Jesus said, follow me. Well, let me go bury my dad. Follow me. Well, let me go say goodbye to my family. There can't be anything more important than Jesus Christ. Nothing in your life. If you start down the road with your handle on the plow for Jesus Christ, don't look back. Endure. Keep walking. Keep working. And as the pastor said, walk with God. Endure until the end. Because there's some promises that God has made that are going to be beyond your understanding. And your endurance is going to make that available. I want to ask our musicians to come. Tonight, we're going to go in a little more in depth in some of the things that we've talked about this morning. Talk about giving these things to faithful men and just some other stuff about what we've talked about this morning. So we'd love to have you back at 5. I don't know where you are with Jesus Christ. Maybe you've put your hand to the plow and you made it a little ways, and then you dropped the plow. Well, that's on you. That's not on Christ. You're the one that did that. But let me tell you something. It's not outside of the mercy that endureth forever to allow you to pick the plow back up. Because those who call on the name of Jesus Christ know this. He is faithful and just to forgive. Because He paid the price. He has it to give to you anytime that you call upon Him. But if you throw the plow down and never pick it up again, He will not show the mercy to you that I know you desperately would want. Think about that. Endure. Be a good soldier. Be a good athlete. Be a good husbandman for Jesus Christ. Would you stand as we sing?
Heavenly Highway Hymnal number 109, I Surrender All.